Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this October 23rd, 2012 edition.
Tonight, Mitt Romney's son buys Ohio voting machines in a direct conflict of interest just weeks before the presidential election. Meanwhile, Obamaites continue threats to riot should Obama fail to secure a second term. Then, an Obamacare mandate revealed. Anyone who works 30 hours a week is now considered full-time. Plus, evidence that the corrupt Portland City Council secretly met with fluoride lobbyists before voting to poison Oregon's water. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Top story headline. Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. Now you can see we're top linked right there on Drudge, another continuation of the stories we've been bringing you over the past few weeks. If we can get right down to the meat, to the Twitter feeds. All right, the meat and potatoes here. Why can't someone just assassinate Romney? If Romney becomes president, I swear somebody will go assassinate his behind. And these are definitely explicit content. Let's see, if Romney wins, I'm gonna assassinate his, okay, well, Romney, I'm going to effing assassinate you, and it goes on from there. Just some more of the same that we've seen over the past few weeks, rampant threats against Romney. We've also posted some in the past of threats against Obama, and I guess those were taken seriously, but when you have someone like Mitt Romney, who's not the presidential candidate, nobody seems to care, and definitely, I'm sure most of these are just people just with too much free time on their hands who make Twitter comments about stupid things. But like I said, if one out of 1,000 of these are real comments or real threats, I mean, this is something that should be taken seriously. So we'll give you more news on that as it develops. Next story. Tag Romney investigated in Ohio electronic voting machines. Now we see here Mr. Tag Romney, this is the son of Mitt Romney, is invested in voting machines from the Hard Interest Civic that is owned by, it's just so ridiculous. Tag Romney owns the voting machines in Ohio. This is like your mom judging a cutest baby contest. I mean, who really thinks that this is going to go the way it should? It says, by virtue of conflict of interest alone, the role should be investigated by DOJ, preferably involving the addition of the FBI, Homeland Security, and the CIA to ensure this connection will not endanger the vote in Ohio and in other states. Gee, I don't know how you could possibly have voter fraud when your son owns the voting machines. It just makes no sense to me. And we actually have a video here of how easy it is to hack into these machines and produce voter fraud. So let's take a look at that now.
The tape shows that Benedict Arnold won the election. This result is incorrect. Malicious software stole votes from George Washington and gave them to Benedict Arnold. The voting machine was running Diebold's election software, but it was also silently running our demonstration vote-stealing software. When the election ends, the vote-stealing software can delete itself from the voting machine. No evidence remains that the machine was ever hijacked.
So completely ridiculous. I mean, all these organizations, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, all these people should really look into this. This is something that actually needs to be taken seriously. I can't believe that this is actually happening. The guy's son owns the voting machines. I mean, what else can you say about it? I'm sure there will be no voter fraud this year. Next story. Happy birthday to the 112-year-olds voting in 2012. Wow, that's an interesting graphic right there. All right, let's keep rolling. All right. Almost 1,000 of them have cast their ballot in this year's election. In 2010, more than 9,000 of the 110-year-olds voted, and many more of the 108-year-olds voted in 2008. So good going to you, all you people out there in North Carolina. I guess you got something good in the water. I guess maybe your water doesn't have fluoride in it. I don't know. Maybe we can do an investigation on that. But keep voting. Okay, so y'all just keep voting out there, even if you're dead, because you know the Obama administration doesn't have any problems with you voting two or three times, four times, a couple of more times. Hey, if you can get away with it, as we chronicled last week. So, yeah, quit drinking your fluoride and vote until you're dead. Next story. Obamacare mandate. Anyone who works 30-hour weeks is now full-time. Now, on the face, you may say, hey, this is a good deal. I'm a 30-hour-a-week employee or so. Maybe you work around those many hours. You say, hey, now I can get my full-time benefits. There is a catch-22, and let's take a look at it here. A little-known section in the Obamacare health reform law defines full-time work as averaging only 30 hours per week, a definition that will affect some employers in, who utilize part-time workers to trim the cost of complying with Obamacare rules that says businesses with 50 or more workers must provide health insurance or pay a fine. So we see here, okay, fine, you do get your, if this applies to you, you may get these full-time benefits, but you're not going to get your full hours. You think that every day, let's say you work a 40-hour week or so, they're not going to pay you the 30 hours at regular pay and then pay you 10 hours at overtime. That's not going to happen. They're going to hire somebody else to work those hours that you don't work anymore. So definitely be aware of that. Obamacare is taking over. So next story. Barney Frank cries foul. Government's lawsuit against J.P. Morgan. Now, this is something I definitely wasn't expecting to see. Let's take a look. Frank, the co-author of the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial reform law, said federal and state officials should reconsider holding financial firms liable for the wrongdoing of institutions they absorbed at the government's urging. So somebody is taking it upon themselves to hold these people liable, hold these banksters accountable just like everybody else. Next story. CIA chiefs face arrest over horrific evidence of bloody video game sorties by drone pilots. The Mail on Sunday reveals shocking new evidence of the full horrific impact of U.S. drone attacks in Pakistan. A damning dossier assembled from exhaustive research into the strikes of targets set out in heartbreaking detail the deaths of teachers, students, and Pakistani policemen, and also describes how bereaved relatives are forced to gather their loved ones' dismembered body parts in the aftermath of strikes. Wow, that's pretty serious information right there. I mean, you have to pick up, your drone hit your dad, and you can see the shocking images right there of people hit by these drones. But to say that you, a family member, have to go out and collect the body parts of your own loved one is definitely horrific, to say the least. Let's look more into the article. We have statements from a further 82 victims' families relating to more than 30 drone strikes. This is our only hope of justice, said human rights lawyer Shahzad Akbar. If the judge grants Mr. Akbar's petition, an international arrest warrant will be issued via Interpol against the two Americans, the two CIA operatives, and I definitely hope that they do get a chance to hold these people accountable. We've seen reports of the CIA saying they need more drones. I mean, why? So you can go ruin more families, and we actually have that pulled up. So you see the story right there. CIA claims it needs more drones, you know, to do what? So you can blow up more schools and school children and innocent policemen who are actually out there trying to do their jobs. And, you know, this dovetails with Obama saying that, hey, if you're around when a drone strikes, that's just on you. You're an enemy combatant. So I don't know why these people claim they need more drones. It's just more surveillance. And as we always say, it's not just for those people over there. These things will soon be in your neighborhood, and you say, what do you mean, Sue? And I mean, well, your local law enforcement already has little mini drones. These big drones will be flying to U.S. skies here very shortly, so don't say we didn't tell you. So, next story. Now, this is something that's very interesting. Completely corrupt Portland City Council secretly met with fluoride lobbyists before voting to poison Oregon's water. The lobbyists did, in fact, meet with all five council members in July or August. So there it is, just right there out in the open. These fluoride lobbyists say, hey, why don't you come put this deadly poison into your water supply? And people, there are all these myths and urban legends that it's good for your teeth and whatever else. Even if it is your stance, it is good for your teeth, it's bad for your everything else. So just keep that in mind. And we actually have another article of fluoride, and this is from fluoridealert.org. And this goes on to say, verifying petition signatures for a fluoridation referendum, Clean Water Portland and their campaigners will get to question on the ballot that they have submitted more than 43,000 signatures when they only needed about 20,000 a day before the deadline. So at least fluoride, you do have a chance to protect yourselves from this deadly chemical. I don't know why anybody would want to put this in their water. Like I said, there's a lot of misinformation and urban legends that people still believe in, but hopefully, Portland, you guys can get it done and get her done, as they say, and get her out. And that brings us now to our quote of the day. And this is from Charles Bukowski. The difference between a democracy and a dictatorship is that in a democracy, you vote first and take orders later. In a dictatorship, you don't have to waste your time voting. And that's a very powerful statement, a very true statement. That from Mr. Charles Bukowski. Now, we definitely want to take the time to thank everybody who participated in our last Money Bomb. It's a great success, raised about $500,000. You can see the official numbers right there. And these are all the people who donated, who bought the products at InfoWarsShop.com and also participated in the eBay auction. And we definitely want to thank everybody who participated, those who had a desire to give but didn't have anything to give. We still appreciate you getting the word out, telling people that you know about InfoWars, passing out the InfoWars magazines, putting on the InfoWars bumper stickers. So we definitely appreciate you, and we cannot stress that enough. So thank you, and thank you some more. All right, now after the break, we'll be back with Matt Williams, a firearms instructor, to talk about ATF running guns into Mexico, ATF racially profiling Hispanics, and a whole matter of other topics. But before we get to there, please take the time to check out PrisonPlanet.tv. It helps our broadcast. It helps us get new reporters, send people out to the field to cover more stories. You say, hey, we want you guys to go to Bilderberg. This is how we do it. You can get a 15-day free trial, so definitely be aware of that. And also, check out the InfoWars shop. Many great products out there. You can get the Obama Deception discounted, many other great products, hats, shirts, DVDs, whatever else, food supplies, water filters, many great products at InfoWars Shop. And don't forget to check out the InfoWars magazine. I've seen the artwork for the new one. I'm not sure if we can sneak that in here or not. We should probably just wait and let Alex make that call. But check out the InfoWars magazine. This is this month's. The new one will be coming out very soon, so keep your eyes peeled for that. So stay tuned to the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll be right back after this break with Matt Williams.
Really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So, again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health. And support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. Pro-Pure. Top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
What we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Matthew Williams, firearms instructor and armorer for gunfightersclinic.com. We'll be discussing ATF Fast and Furious and also the ATF's racial profiling of Hispanic gun owners. He joins us now in studio. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, Matt. Now, one thing we wanted to talk about last time we started this interview back on the Money Bomb was the ATF's racial profiling of Hispanic gun owners. And this is something that you're very adamant about. Can you tell us why?
Well, most importantly, my kids are part Latino.
We have the document right here, guys.
My children are part Latino. And, you know, I've been looking at these forms all of about a little bit over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I've always been bothered about it because racism is always a big issue in our country.
Right.
And it's blown up out of a proportion because, frankly, the majority of it's sort of died out. You know, I think we've all come to realize, especially after 9/11, that we're
right.
all brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the only thing that, in my eyes that keeps perpetuating it outside of, you know, backwoods people is government forms always asking what our race is. Mm-hmm. And they fall down on demographics and stuff like that, and they start providing that as an acceptable answer. And it's not. You know, at the end of the day, we should all be known as Americans. So that was my first problem with it. Second problem was, is when I recently went to go purchase a handgun, I noticed that Section 10 was split into Section 10A and B, separating Latinos from the other demographics that they want you to identify with.
Yes.
And it's almost had it like Latinos and Hispanics were no longer a race. That's
right.
The way they made it appear. And it's a little disgusting that our own government, who preaches equality, would actually take it to a level that I knew it was from the get-go is something that was discriminating. I later found out after talking to a few people that the reason why they do that is so they can cross-reference it with what's called the Mexican cartel database.
Okay.
So my huge question is now, are they giving U.S. citizens information over to the Mexican government? I mean, to check our validity as Americans?
That's
or
what it sounds
citizens?
Like.
It's exactly what it sounds like, and that scares the hell out of me. I mean, because frankly, we have a big issue with the globalism and us losing our sovereignty. But under these kinds of circumstances, it's gone.
Right.
It's just gone. I mean, at this point, we're providing information on our private citizens to a foreign entity. If that doesn't terrify people,
oh,
nothing
yeah.
will.
So now these potential cartel members, you know, they have these checks in balance. So I don't want to say in balance. They're racially profiling people, you know, cross-referencing with these cartel members. So, I mean, potentially, it sounds like to me a cartel member could use this cross-reference and possibly steal somebody's identity. Or for any other reason. You know, multiple reasons. This is information that should not be given out to anybody. You know, let alone some foreign entity and potentially a dangerous suspect.
Right. And frankly, I mean, a lot of people in the private sector, they look at the war on drugs in Mexico and they have a huge failure to identify who the bad guy really is.
Right.
Is it the Mexican government, which has been corrupt since the inception of the country, or is it the cartels? You know, and obviously the cartels are doing illegal activities. They're doing brutal acts that make Al-Qaeda look like kitty cats. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're facing and fighting a very, very corrupt government with a long history of that said corruption, regardless of who gets into office.
Right.
So here we are dealing with them, trying to make friends with them because they're our neighbors and because there is a large populace of Hispanics here who want to see that happen.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they are criticizing our laws, like, for instance, to check for ID.
Sure.
Meanwhile, if you go to Mexico, if you don't have ID, that's imprisonment instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So the laws that we've proposed here are already in place there and more right. severe. So, you know, you sort of look at it as some sort of balanced agreement, and there is no balance. And matter of fact, now we're giving over U.S. citizens' information over to these, over to this government, so they can check to see if our citizens are criminals, when we should be knowing this.
Yes.
We should be on top of this.
That's exactly right. And we see things like Obama giving driver's licenses and work visas to illegal immigrants. You know, we see racial profiling in Arizona, where they can pull you over if you, well, they say they're not racial profiling, but how else can you, this guy looks Hispanic, let's pull him over and check his papers. You know, they can pull you over and check your papers now.
Right.
You know, like this is Nazi Germany or something. It's a complete violation of people's civil rights. This is also to give U.S. citizen information over to a foreign entity.
Right. Well, I mean, the government's real popular with about making laws and making requirements, but then they lack on the enforcement until it becomes a problem.
Right.
And then people start asking for reform and new laws to be created. They don't need new laws. They need someone to enforce the existing laws. And they don't do it for political maneuvers. And right. that's disgusting. I mean, we have people, we have paid actors running our country. That's what it boils down to. And these people just have no regard for the American populace. They wish to appease foreign entities before their own people. They wish to bail out large private corporations with our money. Well, when this money's paid back, does that mean that we get 2 or 3 years of tax-free lifestyles?
No.
So where does that money go?
Right.
We're being robbed by our own government. The people that we, the people, should be in power, we've been pirated. We've been hijacked. It's not something that happened with Obama. It's just something that's being continued with him.
Right.
And now he's talking about banning cheap guns. Well, for Lord's sake, you know, the government buys the very best of what money can buy. So what parameters is he defining for a cheap gun? Under $1,000? Because anything under $1,000, that's about 95% of the gun market.
Right.
Semi-auto? Well, semi-auto technology has boosted it to the point where a revolver is competitively a joke in comparison to a semi-auto. Semi-auto is the new mainstay. That's like saying I'd rather have a Model T over a Camaro. It's just right. a ridiculous. Technology accelerates, so will the tools involved in technology.
Definitely.
The big problem is people are becoming so compliant that they're allowing the government to take these powers from them. Mm-hmm. You know, if everyone wanted to empower themselves for self-defense and for protection of themselves, and they actually took actions by purchasing a firearm, getting proper training, and following the law, you'd see probably half the cops on the street that we have currently today. And the fact of the matter is there are too many people who are begging for someone to help them. And, you know, looking at the government as a solution as opposed to what they really are, a glorified property management company.
That's exactly right. Now, you touched on something of Obama wanting to ban certain firearms, semi-automatics. And we have this article right here, headline, Obama calls for gun bans, but Nanny B wants more. And in this article, it references the debates where Obama recently said he wants to ban semi-auto handguns and, well, cheap guns in general, as well as assault rifles. And just as you touched on, what is a cheap gun? Is this something that the normal, you know, populace can't afford?
Well, I mean, you got 80 million gun owners with 3.6 million guns. You got 313 million Americans. In comparison, they're going for the majority of those people who don't own guns to understand, oh, cheap handguns, that sounds okay.
Yes.
But they're not, they're being so lazy about it because they don't have the interest that some people do. So once they hear cheap handguns, that's enough for them.
Well, let me ask you this as a firearms professional. What is a decent priced handgun? You know, if I was going to go out to the store and purchase a firearm, what should I, you know, expect for a decent firearm?
Two aspects of that. One, keep in mind, budgets are understandable, but keep in mind you're also budgeting on a life-saving tool.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be too stingy with that. I think on average you can get a very, very solid handgun for around $500.
Okay.
Very high quality, very dependable, very accurate, and something that you can bet your life on. They go as high as $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 for the higher boutique level handguns. We've had Legion Firearms on our product reviews, and they have a $2,000 handgun that is brilliantly made. But for the average consumer who's on a budget, and most of us are, I'd say about $500.
About $500. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good amount. Now, we'll shift gears here. Now, we talked about in our last interview about things such as home defense, and I have this article right here. Home Alone 12-year-old girl shoots intruder. Now, this is something out of Oklahoma. Somebody broke into this young lady's house while she was home alone. The intruder was rummaging through the house. The young girl called her mother. The mother said, hey, grab the gun, hide in the closet until, you know, whatever, until the guy leaves or, you know, worst case scenario, you have to shoot him. So we see here an example of where running away wasn't an option. She is trapped in a house by this man, and, you know, we don't have the image on screen, but he's a pretty big boy. You know, she's, you know, 12 years old, 12-year-old build. So the man came to open the closet where she was, and she shot through the door and shot the suspect.
Right.
You know, and now she's alive today because of the firearm she had in her home.
Yeah, and that's what you hear a lot about the Stand Your Ground law.
Right.
You know, the Stand Your Ground law, which is actually not even, there's no law out there defining.
And you can see the guy on the screen right there.
Yeah, well, you know, he made it, that stinks. Anyways, you have a Stand Your Ground law. There is no law defined to stand your ground. It's called a castle law. Castle law is really designed so you don't have to run away leaving your family to bear violence or run away only to be shot or stabbed in the back. And that has been something that they did a lot of case studies on in order to get the castle package passed in Florida, which Texas and many other states have adopted since. You know, at the end of the day, when violence comes, there's two choices, fight or flee.
Right.
Castle law states that you have the obligation outside of your home, vehicle, and workplace. You have the obligation to flee if it's an option to do safely.
Right.
If it's not an option to do safely, you have the right to stand your ground. And that's why they got the slogan or the slang implemented into the law. But, yeah, it's that package that is saving so many lives. You take gun rights away from people, you will reinforce crime. Cops are incapable of solving and eliminating crime. They never will be able to be up to the task.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it's the only job where you'll actually fail every day to come back to a harder job the next. So the fact that a lot of people, you know, they give cops a hard time, I can understand there being plenty of cops out there that deserve it. But there's most of these men who actually do an outstanding job. It's the whole, I don't know how to say, the conveyor belt, so to speak. But that's another topic. I mean, another time we can get into police state and we can have a lot of fun with that. But
well, take a minute. Do you have any thoughts off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, the police state, it's basically gang mentality. You know, these guys join it for a noble cause. You know, some rookie makes a mistake. His supervisor covers him. Down the road, the supervisor makes a bigger mistake. The rookie at that point feels obligated to cover him. Now they're creating exactly what the Latin Kings have, gang mentality.
Right.
Now you have supervisors, commandants, and police chiefs that are demanding and actually implementing quotas for them to unlawfully make arrests. For instance, your good old mayor, well, not yours, but Mayor Bloomberg. He's asked for these case 250s where it's basically pulling up, looking at anyone you decide and searching them, stopping and searching them. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of reports, even some of the NYPD police officers who have came out and said, yeah, I'm being forced to it. They've even showed recordings where a supervisor says, yeah, you know, I had a hard time doing it at first, but after I did a couple, I got used to it and everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is people are not in uproar about this. You know,
right.
They're like, oh, someone's on the case. Well, the people on the case are usually the ones who are bought and sold first.
Yes.
So there's a huge problem with that in a lot of large cities. And it's not all departments, but it is some of the biggest ones.
Definitely.
And no one's going to do anything about it. And that's just, honestly, it's just sad.
Now, we'll shift gears back to the ATF. Now, we've seen testimony of Eric Holder, where he says that, yes, there were different components involved with the Fast and Furious scandal, but he didn't know anything about it. So let's take a look at that clip now.
You do not have what this program was supposed to produce. You don't have the kingpins. You don't have the places it went. The Justice Department is basically guilty of allowing weapons to kill Americans and Mexicans.
But I'm going to take a great exception to what you just said. The notion that somehow or other this Justice Department is responsible for those deaths that you mentioned, that assertion is offensive. And I want to tell you that.
But what if it's accurate, Mr. Attorney General?
See in this clip that Eric Holder, you know, he said, yes, there were deaths, but the Justice Department wasn't involved in those deaths. You know, this is a wrongful suit, as he claims, even though the ATF ran thousands of guns into Mexico. They say these are just, you know, straw purchases from mom and pop shops. They don't sell explosives at mom and pop shops. You know, they're trying to make it seem like people just went to the pawn shop, bought a few pistols, maybe a few rifles, some shotguns, and shipped them over the border. That definitely was not the case. There were, you know, explosives, grenades, other ordnance that was found. Americans were killed, as well as many, many more Mexicans were killed in this, and nobody wants to be held accountable. Eric Holder was actually, he got off pretty easy during this investigation. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that, Matthew Williams?
I got quite a bit of thoughts about that. Basically, you know, there's a lot of problems. You know, what they're doing is they're buying, say, let's say hypothetically,
okay,
that an individual with corrupt intentions goes to a firearms store here and buys a civilian version of an M4.
Okay.
Which is basically what our soldiers are carrying currently. This is a semi-automatic weapon.
Right.
It blows my mind that automatically they're saying, telling me, mm-hmm, that this is converting into full auto when it crosses the border. It's not the case. What is happening, and they're not telling you, is that currently we have the highest rated gang-affiliated soldiers in the United States Armed Forces.
Right.
And I can guarantee you, you can go on to these bases, talk to these guys, and with the right amount of money, get the parts necessary to convert these parts or these guns.
Now, how simple is it to convert a semi-automatic rifle to a fully automatic?
15 minutes. For M4, it's a matter of changing out a couple pins, throwing a new trigger kit, and then drop a sear in it. It's full auto. Oh, and the bolt carrier. So you're talking 15 minutes if you're half asleep.
So this isn't anything it's difficult to do, something that criminal wouldn't, you know, think twice.
And it's an unregistered part. It's not something that they track. It's not something that the Army tracks. And it's not something that the Army or the U.S. Marines is willing to take accountable right now. They are having enough fire going under it. And I don't want to bash them. I love our armed forces.
Right.
But at the same time, we have lowered the standards so low for military personnel in order to fill these stop gaps overseas that we've allowed some of the most sinister people into the military, gave them basically the training efficiently to kill another human being, and then put them back on the same streets where they came from. And in this economy, guess what they're doing for a living?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you have gang members in Southern California that know how to slice the pie. Slice the pie is where you're stepping back from a corner and actually utilizing your weapon and coming around the corner. So anyone on that other side has no prayer of defense. And you have police officers that aren't trained to handle this, which, of course, is justifying the police training that they're doing. This is all job security. This is all it is them giving us a reason of why they need to exist. You know, we don't want terrorists in the country. Well, how come TSA is not as aggressive on international flights as they are with me when I fly from Austin to Dallas?
Right.
You know, I don't have explosives in my pocket. I got in an argument in El Paso because I bought my kids a bullwhip. And they're like, yeah, this is a weapon. And I'm like, have you been in a plane lately? I need 10 feet to crack this.
Yeah.
And he's all like, what are you, a horse jockey? And then I'm looking at myself. I'm 220 pounds. A horse cries when he sees me. So at this point, I'm trying to convey to this guy, you know, if this is a weapon, you should put it on your list. You can't arbitrarily just say this. This is something for my kids.
Right.
And it's just not the case. You know, they want to justify their actions. They want to justify their jobs because, frankly, if we disband all these organizations, you think 10% unemployment's bad? You're going to watch it go through the roof.
Exactly.
And, frankly, it needs to. You know, we need to start creating more jobs statesides with American industry, not with bigger government.
Right. Now, on the printable gun front, we touched on this also in our last interview. Mm-hmm. We see an example of a young man who took a piece of technology, and for our viewers, there is a 3D print technology where you can print solid objects, not just a piece of paper, but you could, let's say you want to print a brick. You know, you can put in the proper materials and print a brick. This young man took the raw materials to make a firearm. this technology was stripped from him and given to defense contractors. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, it was just, you know, the squashing of the little guy. You know, right now there's a group called Freedom Group, and Freedom Group has purchased out all the major manufacturers of firearms in the United States, as well as some Class 3 manufacturers that do suppressors and silencers and such. This is alarming because all it takes is one anti-gun board member to get in there with controlling shares, and 90% of the gun industry in America goes away overnight. That would terrify me. But the 3D printing company, I think it was Straterus or something like that, something to that effect, I can't recall. I apologize, but that company is in bed with all these companies. They are providing those printers for those companies. And because they have that strong relationship with those companies, you can best assure that their attorneys do know the law. So they were stipulating in that letter back to the young man who had developed those programs,
right,
that it was in their opinion that it was in violation of law. Well, here's the thing. I can sit at home and make as many guns as I want, as long as, one, I'm not giving them away or selling them.
Right.
Because in that capacity, then I need to register myself as either a dealer or a manufacturer or both. Mm-hmm. In which case, he wasn't. He was doing prototypes of a design he wanted to offer free.
Right.
And I thought it was a brilliant idea. I thought it was something that really give the firearms industry a boost and bring in a new technology at first. And then, after investigating everything, we found out that Remington and a lot of other companies, Knights Armament and everything else, are actually using this printer for the exact same reason, giving it the appearance that this company just simply doesn't want the little guy to succeed.
Right. Very excellent point. Now, if I could shift gears once again. Now, I've actually had a chance to take some of your classes, your concealed carry classes.
Yes.
And one of the things I was very impressed with is you said, you know, we came to a certain part in our shooting, and you said, if you can't pass this part of the assessment, you shouldn't carry a gun. And that's what a lot of people think. They think, oh, you're pro-gun. They think everybody should have a gun. If you're crazy, if you're drunk, just run around and shoot up people like, you know, Yosemite Sam. But you said, no, these are some basic skills that you need to have. If you can't hit this target 9 feet in front of you with, you know, this amount of accuracy, you shouldn't carry a firearm. And that is very impressive to me. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because a lot of people look at concealed carry, they think these are just a bunch of cowboys and vigilantes running around on the streets.
Well, I mean, in a lot of people with the current political climate, you're pulling people out of the woodwork who've never even fired a gun, who want to exercise their rights. My problem with that is instead of coming to a private training course or even a basic gun class, they're going straight to the concealed handgun license because they want to get it before their rights are stripped. The problem with that is, and I'm required by the state of Texas to teach a certain level of curriculum. All my curriculum is state approved. And they give me a little leeway in some areas, but they're very adamant about me not being able to make a judgment call and reject people. I literally, by state law, cannot reject someone. So if some guy came in and said he was with Al-Qaeda, I got to train him by law. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I can contact DPS and let them know of the individual and they'll further investigate it. But, you know, sometimes that's playing with scissors, too. The fact of the matter is people, if they don't have any experience, they need to get experience. Can they pass a test without never having to fire a gun? Yes. DPS lowers the requirements so low that, and they did this on purpose not to infringe on Second Amendment rights, mm-hmm. but they do distill it in there because they don't want what they call mentally defective people or chemically dependent people with this license. It has nothing to do with buying a gun. It has to do with carrying it on the streets. And frankly, I don't care if you're a good guy or not. Once your bullet comes my way, my bullets are going to come your way.
Right.
And the difference is I'm not going to miss. So I try to evaluate people and let them know, listen, if you can't clear a malfunction, if you can't load a pistol, if you can't hit your target, you don't want to carry a gun, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to go for your weapon and you're going to hesitate. And that hesitation is going to get you killed.
Exactly.
So that's one point. The other aspect of it is, yes, I see the urgency, but don't cheat yourself. You are purchasing a tool that is designed to take life. There's no other every other intention that it's used for is secondary.
Right.
These were invented over 500 years ago, and they were designed to take life. And it sounds almost redundant, but, you know, you train good people to do bad things to bad people, because at the end of the day, who do you want to survive?
Right. So what tips would you give to anybody who wanted to go out and purchase a firearm, maybe a first-time buyer, any type of firearm, a pistol, shotgun, rifle? What advice would you give to somebody, a first-time buyer?
Well, the first thing I would say is find something that is of high quality within your budget. I do your homework as far as pricing. Check with your local dealers, see what they have in stock. See if a local range has many of these for rental guns so you can actually go out and shoot these things.
Right.
Sort of get a feel of it. It's much like the old story of Excalibur, you know, the sword and stone. You know, when you grab your gun, it's going to feel right in your hand. It's going to just sort of, it's the angle of the grip, it's the grip texture, all that comes into play. That's very confidence building, and confidence is 50% of shooting. So there's that. The other aspect of it is once you do have your firearm, don't go out to the range with a box of ammo saying, I'm going to shoot at that piece of paper until it's all gone.
Right.
Go out there with a plan. You know, I want to have, I'm going to shoot at 7 yards today. I'm going to keep 2 to 3 second increments between shots, and my goal is to have a 3-inch group. All right? And when you achieve that, have another goal to accelerate with. Always have a range goal. And if you don't know how to develop them, there are instructors everywhere that are willing to help. Granted for a price, but this is what we're in the business for.
Right.
And trust me, with what we can teach you in a half hour or an hour, it'll take you a year to learn. Only because you're looking over a wide variety of information and you're not going deep on the fundamentals. And that's what we start with, is the fundamentals. We implement safety protocols and we adhere to them. Safety protocols are simple. It's 4, and they basically interact with one another. So if one fails, another one picks up the slack. You have people who go out to the range, they'll shoot a piece of paper, and they're like, okay, I got my gun, I got my CHL, and I got my target. I'm Superman. Now I'm ready to go.
Right.
And these are the guys who are going to die in a gunfight in the street. You see people in the news who survive them inside their house because, frankly, you know, the burglar doesn't know your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you do. So your layout, the burglar doesn't have to field his way through your house to get a glass of milk at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
He's trying to do it, you know, covertly so he doesn't get discovered. You can easily get into a gunfight in your house because you know it blindfolded. That's why you see these articles where people are winning. Not because they're trained, not because they have the ability, or not because they're capable, but because God is with them. And that's really what it boils down to. People need to take this more seriously. The more seriously they take it, the more resonated it will be with our politicians, and the more responsible we'll be as gun owners, and the harder it'll be to take away these rights.
Now, when you see things such as the Batman shooting, for example, Cinemark doesn't allow firearms in their theater, you know, which is their right, right? That's the first question. How do you feel about that, not being able to carry your pistol with you, even though you are a certified concealed carry?
I think if you're going to restrain my right to defend myself, you better damn well guarantee me a level of protection that supplements it. And if you can't do that, if it happened to me and I was one of those survivors in that theater, I would be down at a courthouse with a lawyer. I would sue that theater for not implementing proper security, because usually you'll see, and in many places you'll see a movie theater that has that kind of atmosphere,
right.
But you'll have a uniformed officer there.
Okay.
This had none. And if so, where the hell was he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, if you're going to take away my rights, you better protect me, and you better guarantee protection. Mm-hmm. Because this whole half attempt, we'll be there in 4 minutes, that is not acceptable.
Exactly.
4 minutes, nightmares happen in 4 minutes. And I'm not going to bet on the mop-up crew to come in and defend my life. Especially at that point, everyone's dead. At best, they have a chance of catching someone and holding them accountable for. But what does that do for me? You know, and they have tons of murders out there that go unsolved, you know, and to be able to say, well, guns create violence. No, mankind creates violence.
Exactly.
Guns are a tool to solve it, you know, and fortunately, the majority of these guns are in the right hands. We have 80 million gun owners, 3.6 guns per owner. And if it was a problem, it would be an epidemic of violence right now. And we're not seeing that. For the most cases, we have over 6,500 crimes a month that are prevented by gun owners.
Right.
And most of it's not even them shooting. Most of them just saying, hey, I'm armed. And that's enough. Because most criminals, they're opportunists. But God forbid you get that one person, that one percentile, that one category that is an opportunist, that is actually a sociopath. And at that point, you're in for some real trouble. And if you're out on the streets, the odds are against you because these are ambush predators. They got you on the drop. There's not much you can do except submit or be deceptive. But frankly, if some politician who's all cozied up with his other bureaucrat buddies, and he's got, whether it be Secret Service or private protection, securing his person, which, by the way, you and I don't have.
No.
making these laws, they're ignorant. They are not even being susceptible to the same environment we are, and they're making decisions based on our environment, and most importantly, our constitutional right that was designed to keep them in line. It's flabbergasting.
Flabbergasting. All right, final thoughts, Matthew Williams.
Final thoughts, we need to clean up. We need to take action. You need to get out there, write a letter to your congressman, write a letter to your legislatures. Let them know that gun rights are not optional. They are required. Limiting us to having weapons only gives them more power. You want to solidify government? Take away our rights. It'll solidify it, and then before you know it, you'll have nothing left. You know, if we don't do anything, this will end up like George Orwell's 1984. We will see changes that will rob us. And folks, we're already being harvested. It's time to stand your ground. And if you're not going to do it, no one is. And we will lose. So please take it seriously. God bless.
All right, Matthew Williams, thank you for your time, sir.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
All right, and there's our guest for the night, Matthew Williams. And be sure to check him out, gunfightersclinic.com. He does concealed carry as well as tactical training. I'm trying to get him to get back into that. Mike Adams said he may check that out as well. But what you need to check out is prisonplanet.tv. Get yourself a free 15-day trial. A lot of great stuff on there. All the archives, nightly news, Alex Jones radio show, The Rants, a lot of good stuff, ebooks, all that good stuff. And also check out the InfoWars shop. There's a lot of great things that are still on sale from the past Money Bomb. So definitely look into that. Get yourself a t-shirt, InfoWars hats, beanies, flags, autograph things from Alex himself. So look into that. And also Planet InfoWars. Connect with other great patriots such as yourself. Learn hunting, fishing, dating, all kinds of great stuff on there. So be sure to check that out. And we also want to thank all of you who supported us during our last Money Bomb. It was a great success. And we appreciate you staying up till 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever time it was to watch our broadcast, a 48-hour broadcast. You saw my interview with Matt as well as with some of the guys, some of the crew. So we definitely appreciate you for that. So that's it for the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Jakari Jackson, and we'll see you next time.